Thank you. I'd like to Christian greetings. Greet everyone in Christ's name this morning. Been blessed being here this morning and songs and seeing all the children up here. And a lot invested here, people. I tell you, that's a blessing. Grandchildren and people take time to teach them. The value of it is great. Good singing. I tell you, I always appreciate the praise and worship here when we come here. It's really good. A lot of good singing here. And Martha, when you shared this morning, that blessed me with your dog. That was great. Powerful. So true. Beautiful to see the church. You know, all of us went through some hard times this summer. Wasn't quite sure. I think it probably affected the old people more than the younger ones. They just kind of keep going and running and playing. But that's maybe what it's supposed to do. I'm not sure. But the picture of the church is just beautiful. See you people out there and the children and all ages come together to worship our King. Yeah, I missed that when we were quarantined for a while. And it's good to get back together. Bible says we should even do it the more as we see that day approaching. So it's good that you're here. We're trying. This morning I want to share, I hope it's a word of encouragement to all of us. It's God's peace versus the world's peace. And I got some scripture that I want to read and make some comments, okay? I'm going to start out reading from John chapter 14. Just going to kind of go down through and kind of give comments as I go. Chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, this is Christ talking, as he was planning on leaving, and disciples were not real happy with it. And I can understand that. They felt alone. There was a lot of problems during that time for Christianity. And they wanted him to stay. So he told them this. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now we go to about verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14 it says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And here's one of the verses that I think that speaks probably to all of us. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's Christ's teaching to his disciples and to us today. I'm going to read on down, not to the end. And I will pray to Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Notice the words, world, in this chapter. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas asked a question. He said, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself or make yourself known unto us and not unto the world? That's a good question. And this is what Jesus said, verse 23. Jesus answered and he said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Here's the verse that I put my message around. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I've used this verse many, many times, but it kind of spoke to me in a different way. It says, peace I leave with you. He left it here when he left. Then he says, I give unto you. That's what blessed me. You know, it's a little bit like wisdom. When you pray for wisdom, you have to ask God for it. It's the only way you can get it. Because God has the wisdom, and you have to ask for it. It says that. And then he will give it liberally. You can't go to college for that. You can for knowledge. You can go to school for knowledge. But wisdom, you've got to deal with God. And I think it's the same way for peace. Jesus said he will give it, and he will leave it here. It could stop there, but he included the world. He said, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I think this morning, people, if you were honest, I think your heart were troubled this summer. Different times. When I tell you what troubled my heart, probably a lot is when you start listening to all the negative news. That's, I think, why the children, if they're not involved in the news media and things like that, they just go on. Their life goes on. They can still laugh, play, and have a good time. Grandchildren still give you a hug. They're happy. You can learn from the children. Think about it. But if you feed on the world system, then you're going to have trouble, and your heart will be troubled. I truly believe, folks, it's not good to spend too much time listening to that negative stuff. Because it will affect you. And it will affect me. Anybody agree with that? Amen? Well, I think one person does, so very good. The world, there's trouble. There's a verse in John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. That means troubles. We're going to have troubles in the world, what they call peace. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I'm going to stop there a little bit and tell you a story of two people that came to the end of their life. And I think you're familiar with the story. It's called Poor Lazarus and the Rich Man. You know, he was desiring the crumbs that fell. This is the world. This is the play out, the work that Christ gave, that we can see what's coming. There's a reward for what we do in this life, and we cannot escape it. We will face it. I always like to think that we're in a big sandbox down here as children, You watch those children play in a sandbox, you know. And that's where we are, down here on this earth. And our God is watching us. He likes when we play nice, amen. He's watching over us. The poor man, he was laid at the gate of the rich man. Somebody took him there. And he desired the crumbs of the rich man's table that fell. That's what he desired. Bible doesn't say that he got them, but he desired them. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. Verse 23 in Luke 16, it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, is being in torment. And he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. You know, when you think about this story, I've used this story over the years quite often, and it blesses me every time. This time I got a little different, a little different thoughts. It's a perfect picture of the peace of Christ. Even though poor Lazarus, he had sores, and nobody took care of him. The dogs, it says, it came and it licked his sores. They was probably comforted by that. But nobody cared for him until he died. But he truly had the peace, I really believe, the peace that Christ leaves. The peace that Christ gives to his people that ask for it and they really seek for it. Here's a rich man. He lifted up his eyes being in torment. Verse 23. He sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. This was not a peace that the world offers, folks. It's what the rich man had. He had everything, I believe, that money could buy. He could have anything that he wanted in life. And I think when troubles came, he probably had enough power to get above trouble. But he forgot that one day he will die. And this is what opened up. You know, when he died, he was buried, and he opened his eyes, he was in hell. He was able to see. He was able to remember. Because Abraham told him, you've had all your times, and the poor man had bad times. Now, you're in torment. In verse 24, it says, and he cried, Father, Abraham. I noticed this morning, as I was looking over this, I always said that the rich man asked for two things in hell. He didn't ask for money. He didn't even ask for peace, because he probably didn't know what real peace was. But he did ask for mercy. First thing he asked for is for mercy. Remember, this is the peace that the world offers. This is the payday. Have mercy on me. And then he was thinking about Lazarus. He said, would you send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue? That's not very much, but you know what? He asked for water. He always said he asked for two things, and this was one. But this time I say he asked for mercy and he asked for water. He says he's in torment in these flames. Abraham told him, then the verse I quoted, remember you had good times and Lazarus, now you're tormented because of your life that you chose to live. You're in torment. And also there's like a, would it be like a Grand Canyon between us? It's a great gulf fix that we can't, even if he'd want to help you, we couldn't. We cannot get back and forth. This is... Then the next thing he asked for is verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Isn't that amazing? When people are leaving this world, they're concerned about family. They're concerned about friends. And that's what he was concerned about. He said, I have five brethren. Verse 28, for I have five brothers that he may testify. Who is he? He was thinking about, if I believe that he was talking about Lazarus. Why is that? Excuse me. They knew Lazarus. He was put at the front of their gate, and he desired the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, and these were his brothers. So, we want you to send Lazarus over to my dad's house, to my father's house, because I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come in his place of torment. They once didn't want to help that man, but now the rich man wants to send this man with sores to the father's house to witness, so they wouldn't come to torment. This is the world's peace. Verse 29, it says that Abraham come back to him and he said, they have Moses and the prophets, that was the Old Testament. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one would have went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Lazarus died. He was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. They wanted him to take the message to the brothers. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The challenges to me, people, is that we live a godly life the best that we know how, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, according to His Word. You know, I'm not perfect, but I have a real desire to live for Christ, because He changed my life completely. And it changed the life of my family. I saw it happen. And I would recommend him to anyone. When Christ, when they see the blood we sang this morning, they will pass over. Hallelujah for the blood. Hallelujah for the peace that we can have that Christ left. With that story, I'm going to read on in John 14. Ye have heard, verse 28. How I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I have said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Notice verse 30, hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, that's Satan, cometh and has nothing in me. Now, I see a lot of division today. If you, with all the technology we have today, people are not ashamed or afraid to talk against God, Christ. There is no fear. There is absolutely no fear for a lot of people. They're a spoiled generation. They don't think of eternity. So what should we do? I think it's good to pray. That's basically what a Christian is asked to do, is to pray for our leaders in our country. But that the world may know him, that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. Arise, let us go hence. Hold on, keep going. What is the world? You know, I grew up, and I heard a lot of things was the world. I guess you can tack things on this verse if you want to. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. You can tack things on there, whatever I guess you want to. And lust of the eyes. You know, that's a broad word. You can pile things together on that if you want to. And also the pride of life. Even a proud look, the Bible says God hates. That's a world. That's a world that don't have peace, which Christ gives. They have the peace that the rich man had. He had all this. He had the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He had all of it. And he ended up in a burning hell. This is the world. And they don't know that peace, Jesus said. They don't know that peace that he gives, that he left here. Verse 17 in John, 1 John, chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 are the verses, 16 and 17. Verse 17, it says, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This peace that Christ is talking about, in Psalms 91 it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In him will I trust. During the times that we're living in now, we need that. We need to trust God. We need not let fear overtake us. Because it says in Revelation 21, it says fear and unbelieving are together. They will not enter heaven. It's right there with the gross sins. Fear and unbelieving. Fear makes unbelief. Think about that. That is not peace. The peace that God gives is that our focus and our minds are in eternity. We're thinking about heaven. We're thinking about a better place. We're thinking about meeting Christ, meeting our forefathers, meeting our mom and dad that went on before us, our grandparents. Our focus should be on those things. Think about the rich man. In the closing thoughts, appreciate what Christ put out here in verse 31. He said unto him, the rich man, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, even though one rose from the dead. This morning, people, we have one that rose from the dead. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever, no matter who you are, whosoever will believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's what we're talking about. It's encourage you this morning to remain faithful, encourage myself. We can fall away. I really believe that. And the way we fall away is getting away from God's word. We need to hold on. We need to hold on. Life is short. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Verse 9. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, talking about Christ. After he gave his last address, after he was finished speaking, just before he went home, 40 days on the earth, that people saw him, and he ate with them. And the people saw him. Around 500 people saw him. Verse 9 in chapter 1 in Acts, it says, "And when he has spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." I love this. I use this many times in my ministry. I'm so glad they recorded this, that Luke recorded this. "And while they were looking steadfastly, staring into heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." I can just picture in my mind as he was going up and people were watching him, and all of a sudden there's a cloud come between them and just stayed there, because he told them that he's coming back. They believed it. They had that peace in their heart that he will come back. And they stood there and they gazed where that cloud went between them. There is someone showed up. Two men stood by them in white apparel. I always figured they were angels. I think they were. "Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." He's coming the same way that he went up. All of a sudden, outside the clouds, there is King Jesus. So the Bible says, he's coming the same way. So they returned home. That was now over 2,000 years. These people are all dead and gone. But Christ is still alive. We have one, folks, that rose from the dead. Hallelujah. There is hope. There is great hope. And keep the peace. If you don't feel that you have that peace, ask Jesus for that peace. He says, "I will give it." You know, that was a few years back. I have a little story. We're still back in Pennsylvania on a farm. We're selling some cattle to a person in another state. It's going fine, and he didn't have all the money and just kind of kept going, and the bill got bigger, and I trusted him. And one day he said he's not going to pay me anymore. And it was a sizable number. And I didn't know what to do. He ended up having an auction. I seen it in the farm and dairy that he had an auction. I knew the picture of his place. And I struggled with that, what I should do. And I didn't have peace. I was passing a church at that time, and it seemed like it showed up. It showed up all the time in my mind. What should I do? I was angry, and I didn't have true peace about it. And I still remember one day as I went to the barn, I said, "I'm tired of it." And I wrote me a note, paid in full. And I threw it in the garbage. I signed my name and I threw it in the garbage. And I'll tell you, folks, this morning, it was not an easy thing to do. But there's a peace come over me. And I knew which peace it was. It was the peace of Christ. Not the way the world giveth. The world is trouble. Tribulation. But Christ's peace. I'll tell you what it is. It's found in Philippians. Philippians Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. I know this peace. I felt it that day. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. That's the peace that I'm talking about. I truly believe this morning, people, that this is the hub that turns the wheel. This where all the spokes are connected to. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Who is he? Always a little saying when I close up. When Christ was on the cross, he said it was finished. He's a peace giver. He's a way maker for you and for the world if they want to come to him with their choices. He is a peace giver. His name is above every name. And that's why people use his name for a swear word, because he cannot swear by a higher name than his name, even though it's wrong. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. He's the great I am. He's the first and the last. He holds the keys of death held in the grave. He's the way, the truth, and life. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Like I said, he's a way maker. He's a chain breaker. Your Christian life, the strength of it is the weakest link in your life. What are you flirting with? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That is the world system. The weakest link is your strength in your walk with Christ. I really believe that. What we flirt with in our life. And the Bible says that every eye shall see him. Every knee will bow to that name. The name of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. Thank you that you have made yourself known unto mankind. Lord Jesus, what you've done on the cross for each one of us, we love you. We owe everything to you because you gave everything for us. While we were yet sinners, that is our title, we understand that, you died for us. Lord, I pray that you'd keep us humble as we walk before you. Would you lead us our way and guide us? I pray against fear. I pray against that peace that the world offers that is none but trouble. Lord, I also pray against Satan's powers in our lives and lives of our families. Give us the strength, Lord, every day, one day at a time. Lord, I pray your highest blessing on this church. From the youngest to children as they start school, protect them, I pray, teachers. Give them peace of your peace, that they enjoy their days here. Don't let Satan come in and mess things up. Lord Jesus, this is your school. This is your church. I pray for the parents here, and I also pray for the elderly, the widows and the widowers, Lord. I pray that you would just bless them and keep them safe and keep them faithful until you're done with us here. Again this morning, we thank you for the holy word which you have given to us. Those that wrote it, that we are able to read it, and send us to school that we learned to read. Lord, we give you all the honor and the glory for this day. For we ask it through Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.